Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I am wearing my Coco's Pub shirt here, established in 1985, even though I was established in 1968. It's been established a long, long time ago. The crab cakes are delicious. The hospitality, second to none. We'll be there on Wednesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all afternoon long. Love the cream of crab soup there. I'm such a sucker for getting the same thing over and over again that a couple weeks ago I took the ribs home and the coleslaw and I made little sliders because Eli Manning told me to, and I made them and they were delicious. So Coco's Pub, come on out Wednesday. At the very least, get the coconut shrimp because they're like the greatest thing I've ever had in my life. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery as well as our friends at GBMC. I'm going to have the Raven scratch-offs to give away on Wednesday. And it's so nice we had to do it twice this week. On Friday, we're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex because I need crinkle cut fries and gravy and Old Bay wings and a Cobb salad and a pizza to go and probably a cheese steak with double provolone and mushroom. It's bad enough. I'm actually drinking eggnog as we speak here, and we're on the front end of this trading deadline that I'm going to pick up my eggnog weight. But two crab cake tours in places this good. Luke might actually join me on Friday at Pizza John's, but he is tethered to the WNST tech service right now, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, awaiting purple plumes of smoke. Hey, dude, we had an Oriole manager in the middle of the World Series. We're going to have a press conference, right? We got plenty of baseball to talk about, but this trading deadline thing in the NFL, we used to sort of, ha-ha, there is no trading deadline. NFL, it's too complex to bring in a quarterback from Cleveland and make him your starter in Cincinnati and throw for 470 yards. Like, we used to think it was more complicated than that. Baseball, you rent a hitter, rent a pitcher. It's an individual game. No problem. That football was a much more difficult sport to navigate. And as before, salary caps were, that becomes another navigational tool as to why maybe Max Crosby might not be a Raven by Tuesday at nightfall, which is at 5:03 p.m. Let's have a little bit of fun here, man. It's trading deadline. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot going on. As you and I were kind of speaking in real time, word trickled out that Jalen Phillips was being traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a third round pick. I mean, that was a name that I know many Ravens fans had brought up as a possibility in terms of an edge rusher.
And by the way, there's your price, third round pick, right? So,
I
right?
mean, and that's for a rental, which is interesting. I mean, obviously, I think to go back to what you just said just a moment ago. I think we're finding, first of all, teams have traded more in general, and not just at the trade deadline. I think you're seeing that become more in vogue in a general sense around the league. I think you see far more trades beyond just like draft day trades where you're swapping picks. And, you've seen more player trades in recent years, I think going back really the last 10 years or so. But I think it is interesting to kind of size up what positions feel like they're easier to make an in-season trade and that it will work out. I mean, let's look at last year just as a real basic exercise. The Ravens acquired Deontay Johnson. We know how that worked out. I mean, that didn't at all work out. And they didn't give up much, no worse for wear, but clearly he made no impact whatsoever. The Bills, they traded for Amari Cooper last year. What impact did he make for the Bills? Next to none. The Chiefs acquired DeAndre Hopkins. He had his moments, but even he kind of faded to the background for the Chiefs late last season and didn't do a whole lot in the playoffs for them. So perhaps wide receiver or positions where you need that kind of chemistry, that's something that you point to and say, maybe that's not the best value. But if you're talking about positions where you can kind of acquire someone and plug and play, whether it's an edge rusher. I mean, I will say this, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that Alohi Gilman would be able to acclimate to the Ravens defense as well as he did. However, keep in mind, he was with the Chargers. The Chargers, Jesse Minter is their defensive coordinator. Jesse Minter has Ravens roots. So there was a situation where maybe when you look at scheme, you look at what your defensive system is, or what your offensive system is for that matter. If there are some roots, if there are some similarities, if there are some connections, one thing that I saw someone point out that, Jalen Carter is reunited, or not Jalen Carter, Jalen Phillips is reunited with Vic Fangio in Philadelphia. he had one of his better seasons in Miami when Fangio was with the Dolphins. So sometimes it's as simple as looking at that kind of a connection because, yeah, I think it is difficult sometimes to just say, all right, we're going to go acquire this guy. He doesn't know our offense. We don't know what the scheme fit is exactly. And you kind of go down the list and you start poking holes into how much impact someone's going to make. But we've also seen deals where someone does make a big impact. So, it's fascinating in that way. I'm fascinated to see what the Ravens are going to do here. They have cap space. They have draft capital in next year's draft when you consider some of the projected compensatory picks as well to make a move or two. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an eye-popping blockbuster, but make a move or two that can help them. As we said, they've already made one with the Gilman acquisition, but at the same time, it costs them an edge rusher. They really are light at edge rusher right now. So is there someone they can add that isn't necessarily going to completely transform that group, but can give you someone else that you can count on to add into the rotation? If you can at least do that, all right, you're starting somewhere, I suppose, because as I've said to you in a couple different conversations now, and if we're talking in a couple days and they haven't necessarily made a move, I do look at their defensive line and their edge rushers, and that's a group that makes me take pause. Not so much that they can't play well enough to win the division, but if we're talking in terms of what it takes to make a run in January, I look at the state of the D line, I look at the state of the offensive line, and I just don't know if there's going to be enough consistency that you're going to find in either of those groups to have your full level of confidence in winning three or four straight games in January against other elite opponents.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He is Luke at WNST.net. He's also embedded in Owings Mills before, during, after the trade deadline, the difference between bunk on the internet and real deals. All right. So, look, man, I've done this professionally for going on 35 years and stoking phone calls and whatever, been accused of all sorts of things in that way. You've known me a long time to say that I'm pretty not conniving or sitting around saying, let's say stupid stuff on the radio and see if we can get calls or get clicks, because this is not who we are, either one of us. That's why the audience that we have out here, whatever's left of it, are the thinking people. So I'll give you a chance to show how smart you are in a moment, but part of this is, to your point, everything you just said, salary cap, am I going to need you in January? Where am I dealing from? And I got made fun of over the Colton Cowser thing back in May when I was talking about that, like dealing a real player, dealing a real prospect, dealing something. The notion that they would have dealt away 4 weeks ago for a safety, that it's brotherly love and it's Joe Ortiz and Eric DaCosta and they're all from the same bloom and they can get along, get on the phone and make a deal that makes sense to them and makes sense to their coordinators and to their scheme and to their future and to their salary cap. I wonder if Mark Andrews is a guy that could get you a better pass rusher from a rental standpoint. I say that because of the depth of having likely the unlikeliness that they would re-sign him or give him money or finding a left tackle somehow when in some other swap or not saying you're going to get rid of Stanley. I'm trying to be as thoughtful as I can be given that Eric DaCosta has dealt for wide receivers, signed, traded and signed Roquan Smith, and had no thought at all about, I will take your lottery pick right here, right now. I will overpay him because I need a heart transplant on my defense. And I don't know what they think of pass rush or what they think of the draft next April or what that will look like or what they really think of Mark Andrews' value to them on the field, if likely can play that role or how, but they dealt out of something in the pass rusher department a month ago when they had no pass rush to begin with. And you can insert your punchline here about Adafi Owe at that point, I guess, right? To say like they don't have it. He wasn't providing it anyway. Get rid of him. That it is a little heartless. It is a little cold. It is a little whatever, but some other team that might need up. I'm just throwing Mark Andrews at as a to get phone calls, but I'm saying you deal out of your strength or perceived weakness. I mean, Odafe Owe was not like a strong candidate to be dealt out of here in September, whatever the date that was, in some sort of weird way that I was a little like, well, that's interesting. But if they dealt someone like Andrews, I wouldn't be as weirded out because it would just say to me, they're not going to sign him. And there's a little bit of that, I mean, a lot of that that goes on in baseball that we understand. But there's more than that that goes on at this point, too, to say, am I getting a player for next year? At what price? Against this? Against my draft capital? All of that, because as you know, DaCosta's awake later than me and earlier than me, trying to make the football team better, and they leave no stone unturned. And I do think that the Oway trade was is curious in that they didn't have strength in that position. And inevitably, whenever you deal the backup to the something, that's exactly when the starter goes down. You know, like it's weird how that works. But this is a time to take chances when you're a 3-5 team, right?
Yeah, it is. I think for me, I would just struggle. And because you mentioned Andrews, I'll mention, first of all, there's still value to what he brings to you. I mean, he caught two touchdowns on Thursday night. I think trading Mark Andrews in March or April is a way different animal than how your franchise quarterback's going to feel about it if you do it in the first week of November. So there's that part of it. But I think player for player trades are tricky, especially this time of year, because I'm trying to wrap my head around what team is going to view acquiring Mark Andrews as something that they need to do that they would give up a really meaningful piece on their defense to do it, right? I think that would be more, if you were trading Mark Andrews, to me, the scenario would have been the Ravens are 2-6 right now. And Lamar tweaked his hamstring in his return, and he's out 2 more weeks. And
Listen, I'm not saying Mark Andrews has the value or not the value of Odafe Owe,
Well,
but they did deal him. And
they did.
part of it was like, we ain't signing him anyway, and we need this right now. And what they need right now is pass rush, which is curious that they're going to deal something to get back something that they just gave away. And that's all that's the shell game of this. And that's even more the shell game when you get an injury and you find out you don't have depth. Ed Oliver at the Bills position, to your point, they stepped up their game, but if they didn't, they're the one looking to deal for somebody else's Travis Jones or somebody else's Calais Campbell. Or in the case of the Ravens, we're not hurt on the offensive line. We just stink and we need Kevin Zeitler, because there's all of that's opened the conversation, and we would be idiots, you and me, sitting here taking phone calls at 410 481 1570 right now, all day long, about all of these weird permutations. But it's all in play now. It's not stupid internet talk when they've dealt a pass rusher away here this month and their pass rush stinks. That's all I'm saying.
And I think we have to be fully cognizant of a big part of that was Odafe Oweh was making $13 million. I think if Odafe Oweh was making five, I think that deal's probably not as likely to come to fruition in the way that it does. And even that, think about this: the Ravens traded a pass rusher, they got a safety. I'm not sure that you're trading a tight end for a pass rusher. You know what I mean? To me, you start looking in terms of positional value, what are premium positions? So, and that's not to say that they couldn't trade Mark Andrews and get something of value. I just don't know if it's going to be that. To me, it would be.
Well, if you got the pass rusher from the Dolphins for a third round pick, if you got a third round pick for Mark, I'm just trying to see
Yeah, I
how
mean,
these
I just
guys,
don't think.
and again, they used to talk to me intimately for 26 years. Now I read tea leaves on the internet and I could talk to Marvin Lewis or a million other people about how all of this plays out. But to me, that value would be like, and again, dude, they're 3-5, right? So, you know, I mean, the odds are stacked against them in some way, but they don't feel that way. They feel like, hey, dude, if we go 3-14, we're all getting fired around here. I don't give a damn about, you know, what was the Rams guy? F those draft picks, right? They're not that, but they're also like, all of that has a value, and I think guys you're going to get rid of at the end of the year have less value, right? And guys you can use in a different way to enhance your team and say, well, we got Likely. And of course, the minute you would deal Mark Andrews, Likely would get hurt, right? I mean, like, it's just, but having dealing from where you have depth, We talk about this every year in July about bullpens, right? We're trying to get Sir Anthony Dominguez. He's on the hill in Game 7 of the World Series with the ball in his hand, you know? And he was available for a bag of donuts from the Phillies a year and a half ago, right? So that's kind of how all this works.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the reality is Mark Andrews could have been had back in the spring, right? And I don't think the Ravens were asking for the moon. I don't think they weren't going to give him away, as we said at the time. So I look at that now and I say, what's really changed there? And again,
I
believe
don't know
me,
what an asset piece is at this point, one way or another. The asset piece is whatever the perception of your weakness is right
I
now.
just think at this point in time, I think it's really difficult. And look, I get it. The Ravens did it a month ago. The Ravens and the Chargers did it a month ago. But you had two organizations with two general managers who are very close. They are very familiar with how the other thinks. So I think that was a case where maybe it did work out from a standpoint of the Chargers felt, hey, we've got enough safety depth that we feel we can endure this. We feel that, and I'm guessing a big part of that was within their meeting rooms, within their their scouts talking. I'm guessing Joe Ortiz was one of the biggest proponents for Odafe Owe back in 2021. So I'm guessing that's probably part of it as well. I'm guessing he's not the guy that was saying, I don't know, he didn't have any sacks at Penn State his last year, right? I'm guessing he was someone who was much more on the higher end among their group collaboration and debate and all of that. But
Well,
I guess,
styles make the fight. I mean, you
yeah,
know, when it comes to
I just
making
think
a
it's
deal, right?
Just think it's tri I just think it's tricky because I think in most cases, teams that are looking to buy aren't really looking to subtract other
Sure.
than a
Fair
draft
enough.
pick. Right.
Fair
Yeah. And
enough.
I, so look, I'm not saying it's impossible, but
But that's one way you make salary cap work too, with two
yeah.
star
Oh,
players or aging players, or,
no question.
you know, if the Chargers had a third pass rusher that would really be a really good pass rusher for the Ravens, and the Ravens could say, well, we could live without Andrews,
Yeah.
and the Chargers said, we need a tight end for Justin Herbert
Yeah.
here, right now. If that were the case, and they're all kissy-poo and friends and they know each other, that's how these deals, I mean, we saw this deal get made a month ago. They dealt a pass rusher for safety because they felt like that's where it was. And to your point, it had $13 million of this and that. This is where all of this becomes very pliable and plausible for the next day. And then on Wednesday, we wake up and we go play the Vikings, right?
Exactly. And so much of that chatter ends up being nothing but chatter, right? I mean, you'll moves will be made
Dude, if
and
you would have told me they were going to get Roquan Smith and give him $75 million, whatever they gave him, you know, the next day, I'd have
hundred
been like, 100, sorry.
a couple months later, but yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but you knew they were. I mean, once they
Sure.
made the deal, that was the deal, right? Like, that players like that, when they're made available, and the Ravens fell for Eugene Monroe. I mean, maybe it didn't work out great, but they were hoping to upgrade the team dramatically. Luke, they're 3-5. They might want to upgrade.
Oh, I'm not arguing with that at all. I just think the means of how you do that is probably going to be more so on the draft pick side.
Okay.
I mean, I just think teams that are looking to do that, look, it's not impossible because the Ravens just did it a month ago, but just because you did it a month ago doesn't mean that it's suddenly more likely to happen again, right? I mean,
Let
I
me be
think
a
that.
prick for a minute and say they can deal that fourth round draft pick that Goodell didn't take away from them last weekend.
There you go.
You
There you
know, and
go,
they
right?
can put it to use.
Yeah, it's like a extra pick in your pocket at this
Deal and get
point.
Matt Judon or something. I don't know, you know.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think the Andrews one, I honestly think he has more value to the Ravens than other team.
I don't disagree with that.
And I think that was the problem back in March and April too. I mean, and I'm not sure that's changed. I mean, it's not two touchdown game in Miami aside. It's not like Andrews has put up monster numbers this year. So, I mean, we're going to see how this works out. I think
Well,
it's,
that would be my point comparing it to Colton Cowser, or even as we stretch the conversation and muddy the waters, you know, the eggs are going to get broken with the Orioles in the offseason to make the team
Sure.
better. That's all. And
Yeah,
the
I mean,
feelings that are going to hurt get hurt, and the jerseys that are going to get changed, because that's the way this works.
I am not saying it's impossible. I just think those are the moves that are really difficult to predict. And
Hey, it's
look,
hard enough for them to find
hey.
a player they want and a team willing to give that player up, and then to say, is it a second, a third, or a fourth, right? And then
I
what are the
mean,
Bears willing to give you for him or whatever,
well,
right?
and let me take this in a different direction while we're getting nuts here, because why not? I mean, it's 24 hours and then, we're going to see what happens or what doesn't happen. And then we
Yeah, it's
move on
kind of
to the
like the
rest of the
draft,
season.
but it's way more wide open.
I'll throw another name out there that I think, again, Would I predict this? Would I anticipate this? Would I expect this to happen? No, of course not. But I've noticed Diana Rossini, who's, national reporter for The Athletic. She has noted a couple different times. Now, it's just been like a throwaway line. You know how reporters will do a what I'm hearing around the league kind of notebook. And she's mentioned a couple times the Ravens looking for a corner, which to me at face value makes no sense, right? I mean, they just dealt away a corner. They weren't even playing at all, in Jaire Alexander. However, you start to look at it this through the lens of the big picture. Nate Wiggins is on his way looking like to be a number one corner. Whether he's going to be Chris McCallister or Marlon Humphrey in his prime or Jimmy Smith in his prime, that remains to be seen. But he is very much on his way. And you have him under team control for 2, if not 3 years, assuming you're going to exercise the fifth year option. However, you look at Marlon Humphrey. And you see Marlon Humphrey's contract and how much he's making and how much he will make for the duration of this contract. And it's winding down. He has a 2026 is still there, but his 2026 cap number is $26 million. Now, that said, he's still a useful player. I'm not saying that you would be looking to get rid of him, but if you're looking for some kind of more extreme player for player swap, is there, would you trade him for an edge rusher and you acquire another corner? And again, I don't know how you do that because it's like you would need to have both those moves made at the same time. But
But I think there's a level of creativity when you're 3 and 5
sure.
that isn't stand pat. That's
Well,
all.
and you need some creativity from a standpoint of where you are roster and cap wise, not just right now, but going into next year. I mean,
You also get to
you.
go to Steve and say we did something, right? We
Oh,
tried.
sure. But and again, I'm throwing Humphrey out there just because of, Diana Rossini mentioning the Ravens are looking for a corner. Because right now you kind of look at them long term beyond this year, assuming there's a pretty decent chance. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but something's going to have to happen with that Humphrey contract, right? Whether you're going to extend him, whether you're going to move on from him next year. So is there some kind of scenario where you could deal him and then you acquire some other team's number two corner that also has an extra year or two of contractual control? I don't know. Like, again, I'm spitballing just like you did, with a, I don't expect that to happen, but hearing that, hearing some intel out there that the Ravens are looking for a corner puts up my antenna that, okay, could there be something weird like that? But it's the same thing.
I think they'll do something that will be larger than a single. I think
Yeah,
they're going to
and I
look to
do
be
too.
hitting a double or a triple here, and they're not working around the edges of the roster. They're working on, we need an edge rusher for 28 snaps. I mean,
Yeah.
this is not going to be dealing for a part-time role here, right? I mean, they're not looking for somebody to take 10 or 20 snaps a game. They're looking for a very good player on a bad team, probably,
Yeah.
right?
But again, that's where you go back to
How
a
good,
very,
how long, how
but
much?
a very good player on a bad team doesn't have an inch doesn't have much interest in adding Marlon Humphrey or Mark Andrews, and that's the problem, right? So yeah, I continue to come back to yes. There could be a player for player move made, and they did that a month ago. But that just because they did it a month ago doesn't mean that that's likely to occur
But that
again, right?
never happened in the history of the game. He came
No,
up
I
for a
mean,
draft
it's
pick this time of year, something, but dealing player for player, it
yeah,
just feels like it's
just
gotten
it's
more
weird.
prevalent. And I
Yeah,
think it's because it's gotten more prevalent, it tells me these guys talk about it more often. Talk
yeah.
more about, like, hey, dude, I need a tight end. You got two. You need a pass rusher. I got four.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, oh, you need a starter. I've got three kids at hitting 320 in double A.
Yeah.
You need this, I need that. And that's what the Orioles offseason's going to be too, right? I mean, and
Sure.
that's how the fights are made. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him and us. And if you're on the WNST tech service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, you will get the real deals that they make, not all the speculative speculations and all of that. And I guess, across that, they'll be, then the Vikings, right? Then there's what do they have assuming there are no deals or that there's no major help coming this week, this is a big week for them and a big road game for them. And the way Pittsburgh stepped up over the weekend, the way Cincinnati looks capable, at least offensively, forget the defense, but the teams that they're going to see beyond the Jets and the Browns, this is a week to keep your season alive and not go stub your toe in Minnesota. And we saw them coming off a big game. Of course, we saw the Dolphins coming off a big game too last week, but I was impressed by the Vikings, and I would just say, beware. It's a tricky week around here.
Yeah, no question. And just to finish, I wanted to point this out, and then I'll transition into the Vikings. But the Ravens with the Jaire Alexander trade, they have about 15, 16-ish million dollars in cap space, and they've got quite a few draft picks. Now, they're not all, it's not like they have 2 ones and 2 twos or anything like that, but they have capital. So that's where I continue to look at that and say, to me, it's more so draft picks and taking on salary. Those are the two things that they have an ability to do that isn't necessarily going to be subtracting from your current roster.
I
So
don't know, by the way, if I could bet on that whether they're going to make a deal or not. Well, we
I'd
would
be
already.
surprised if they don't make one. And I'm not saying it's going to be a blockbuster. I'd be surprised because at the very least, you're just thin at defensive line and outside linebacker. Even if it's a guy that,
And
to your
somebody else will
point,
be thick enough to get to do something for a third round pick, right? Like the
or
Eagles did early Monday morning.
Even even if it's a fourth or a fifth and a future fourth, or some kind of conditional. This guy plays X number of X percentage of snaps the rest of the way. A fifth turns into a fourth, right? You see trades like that. So, but the Vikings, I think they're first of all, they're a fascinating team because you see the success that they had last year. You have a head coach that I know you and I have talked about at various times, is an impressive guy. Even at the owners' meeting, seeing him speak at the coaches' breakfast at the owners' meetings in late March, I know both of us have had that opportunity in the past to kind of hear him talk, and he's impressive. He's kind of has had this reputation as a quarterback whisperer, right? We saw what Sam Darnold did last year in Minnesota, and by the way, he was fantastic in against Washington on Sunday night. I mean, Sam Darnold probably should be getting a little more mention as far as at least in that MVP conversation, like second tier at the very least.
Yeah, I watched his post game after that on Sunday night, and it was
He was really
impressive.
good. He's been,
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle in general, Mike McDonald, I mean, they're humming right now. I mean, they're looking good. But I think Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings, they're in such a fascinating position because they did not keep Darnold. They drafted J.J. McCarthy last year. Obviously, he gets hurt. He doesn't play his rookie year. You have all this success. Didn't lead to a deep January run, but they still had a great 2024 season. But you let Sam Darnold leave, and J.J. McCarthy is handed the reins. It didn't look very good early in the season, and then he gets hurt. Obviously, there was an injury there, but I also think there was something to be said of they were trying to protect him a little bit. They knew he wasn't, certainly was not in a position or a stage of his career where you wanted him going out there playing less than 100% as a guy that's essentially a rookie. So there was a little bit of that going on. But now, Carson Wentz is done, shoulder surgery and now out for the rest of the year. And, it's McCarthy for better or for worse. Now, I think they have a good, I mean, certainly they have fantastic wide receivers. Justin Jefferson's one of the very best players in this league. Guy that's very much on his way to being a Hall of Famer one day. They have some other talented wide receivers with Addison, and they have a tight end who can make plays, whether he's put up big numbers this year, Hockenson. But they're such an interesting team because I think there was a perception of how was this going to go with McCarthy, and they're in a position right now where obviously he missed a lot of time, but when he has played, it's been shaky at best. And at early in the season, it was looking pretty ugly. Now, he played admirably, as you and I noted already, as far as them getting the win in Detroit and doing what they did there. He was poised. Accuracy was still off at times. He didn't put up these monster numbers or anything, but
It helps your confidence to go on the road and beat the bullies of the
Oh,
division,
no
man.
question, no question about it. But now it's a case of can he build on that, right? They get a win, they're 4-4. They certainly don't fancy themselves as being out of it at the same time. You look at where they stand in the NFC, They're 10th, just like the Ravens are 10th in the AFC right now. And they're in a division that certainly is more formidable, much more formidable than the AFC North looks on paper right now. So, yeah, I think they're an interesting team from the standpoint of I don't know if there are going to be enough wins for them to get back to the playoffs, but they certainly have plenty of urgency to put their best foot forward and try to find out as much as they can as what JJ McCarthy is going to be and whether he can be the guy for them. And, you know, you're looking at, if you're looking at it from their perspective, they have a Baltimore team coming in that is has won two in a row, has Lamar Jackson back, certainly expects to score points. That defense, just like any team that's preparing for Lamar Jackson that doesn't play him, especially the ones that don't play him very often, how challenging that can be. But they're also looking at the Ravens defense and saying they're playing better, but it's also a group that has some obvious flaws. And even Miami between the 20s was showing that you could move the ball against them, at least in that first half, until the Dolphins kind of looked like they quit. So it is going to be interesting to see how this game plays out. And I mean, that's a great test for McCarthy. I think, you know, for the Ravens, it's just, you know, go on the road again, you know, back-to-back road games. I mean, you'll have extra rest, sure. And you'd like to think that they can do things to confuse a essentially a rookie quarterback. But part of that entails being able to get pressure on him. And we haven't seen the Ravens be able to do that
Back to the
nearly since.
trading deadline.
Yeah, right, exactly. So who can they get? Like, who can they bring in by Tuesday and have up the speed to play on Sunday? So you know, I mean, look, the Ravens are favored. The Ravens should be favored. You know, I haven't made my prediction so early in the week, but I think I'm picking the Ravens to win this game. But this isn't a layup. I mean, this is a team that, you know, I'm not saying they had the pedigree of the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC, but they had a really good season last year, and they still have a lot of good players on both sides of the ball. And the big piece for them is what can their quarterback look like? And I think for them, they're counting on their head coach, who has already been doing all this work. And even last year, McCarthy being out for the year, you knew there were plenty of mental reps going on, that it's like, can you have a little bit of an accelerated learning curve now that you're back on the field and healthy? So we're gonna find out. You know, I mean,
Well,
I
it's not like the
certainly.
Ravens are going to have a pass rush on Sunday.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's where I continue to look at this thing and say, look, Caleb Williams, they were able to get him to make some mistakes, and they were able to cover and do the things they needed to do to win that football game. They stopped the run. That was a big part of it. As you saw, the Bears, who didn't have Swift even on Sunday, their backup ran for 170 yards against the Bengals. And obviously Caleb Williams had a good game there. But, you know, in Miami, look, as much as Tua, I think in the past has been a good quarterback, it's not trending well for him. That hasn't been a good, it hasn't been a good year for him. It hasn't been a good year for the Dolphins collectively. So, you know, you'd like to think as a defense, you're building some confidence from these last couple games, as they should. The three safety looks have certainly helped, and getting Kyle Hamilton in the box closer to the line of scrimmage has absolutely paid off, and I think will continue to pay
Well, they
off.
were the 32nd defense the first month and a half of the
And
year,
they've
right?
been,
So they've
and
been
they've
better than
been,
that.
yeah,
Yeah.
the last 3 weeks, to me, they've trended more. And again, you know, these last 2 weeks, it's not like they've faced juggernaut offenses, but they're trending towards being closer to an average, and maybe they figure out a way to be above average as the year goes on. I still think we go back to the trade deadline, though, and say, can you add another piece, whether it's a defensive tackle or an edge guy, that can give you some more juice? Because that's where I just look at this thing and it's just not you. There's only so many different things you can do to try to scheme and manufacture pressure. And look, they're going to be counting on their back end of their defense to cover, right? I mean, that's why they have all these former first round picks playing in their secondary. And Alohi Gilman, they acquired because they had a need at that specific spot. So, but you know, I think this is going to be an interesting test for McCarthy and for the Ravens just going on the road. You've won two in a row. You're feeling better about them yourselves. I think there are, you know, you want to, after Thursday night's game, to me, exhale and say, okay, we're 3-5, but then it's, we need to get back to work. We still have not fixed things here. You don't want it to be All right, we're 3-5 and Lamar's back. We're fine, right? You don't want players to mentally feel that way because then that's where I think you run into some trouble with some of your flaws. So that's where I think it is important for Eric DaCosta to make a move here. I think it signals to the football team and to the coaching staff that, hey, we didn't have the best off season. We've had some injuries that have hurt. We had a bear of a schedule early on. I've got you, right? We're going to add another piece that's going to help here. Not, maybe two pieces, who knows? But
Some's got to get them to 10-7, right?
yeah, I mean that, and again, that's where I keep going back to
Something
is,
they're going to need on the field in Pittsburgh, something they're going to need on the field in Green Bay, something they're going to need every week from here out that they've been missing. That's why they're three
Well,
and five.
and that's also where you look at this thing, and to go back to your to the exercise of presenting Andrews, just talking about that, that's where you also look at this thing and say, okay, you're healthy now in terms of the guys on your 53-man roster, not counting Matt Ibike, not counting Broderick Washington, our Darius Washington, but are you going to stay healthy the rest of the way? Or inevitably, are you going to have a couple more injuries at certain spots? And you hope it's not a spot that you're, I mean, my goodness, they can't have another defensive lineman go down. They can't have enough, something happens to Mike Green, as much as Mike Green's still proving himself, but man, that position group is just frightening
Hey,
now.
dude, I'd say this for the first time in the history of the organization. They have depth at wide receiver. Don't say that out loud,
Yeah.
but right? Like,
Yeah, no
they've never
question.
had that.
Well, I mean, that's what's funny. Look,
They never had Shorth.
3 weeks, I mean, three
depth.
weeks.
No, forget
Oh, yeah, of course.
it. They've never had one wide receiver, let alone four.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, and I don't think that's the case now. 3 weeks ago, I was thinking, it's quite possible they trade DeAndre Hopkins to somebody, right? I mean, a contender that can use a number three wide receiver with some pedigree. You wouldn't think that now, but yeah, they do. I mean, and I'll bring up his name because he's been brought up at different times over the last couple of years. With that thought in mind, and again, I don't think it's going to happen because I think he still has enough value to them, not just this year, but moving forward. Rashad Bateman could probably get you something decent. I mean, when you look at what he is, what his contract is, which his contract for a number two, complementary receiver type, his contract is very reasonable. If we're playing the shell game of a player for a player kind of deal or something like that, he might be the guy that would be kind of intriguing. Now,
Well, you'd say, is he going to catch five, six balls a game? How much impact is he going to make versus a pass rusher, versus
sure.
something that we don't have?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, we're just playing silly,
We're
silly talk
spitballing
here,
here.
but I
Yeah, I mean,
think this
it's.
is what they need to talk about there. And it always comes down to somebody who's at the end of a contract or somebody you can't afford or that still has value in order to pull these kinds of deals off. Because you
Right.
don't, a old Rex Barney show, somebody would call in and say, let's deal Jack Voigt for Barry Bonds. That doesn't happen. That's
Yeah.
why I'm saying if you really are trying to make an impact, that's why the Roquan Smith thing's kind of incredible. And Micah Parsons, the best players in the sport have been dealt. Frequently
Yeah.
and more free. It's not like the NBA where it happens every minute and these guys pick the teams they want to go to. In the NFL, this has happened a lot under my watch, your watch, our watch, me doing this for 30 years, you doing it for going on 20. It's accelerated to the point where it isn't outrageous to think any of these things. I mean, and we don't script any of this, by the way, folks. Luke and I don't. I mean,
Yeah, I
like,
didn't even
this
know you
isn't
were bringing up Mark
105.7, right? I
Andrews.
mean, like, I started with Mark Andrews. You went in on Marlon Humphrey. Now we're to Rashad Bateman because if you want to give, you got to get,
Well,
right? You got to get to
and
give
for
to
any,
give to get. It's like a Tesla song.
but this is also where I will once again provide the caveat. I don't think player for player moves are the most likely by any stretch of the imagination. It's draft
Agreed.
picks. It's draft picks. And that's not as exciting, right? I mean, unless you're dealing a first round pick,
Well,
right?
that's what
And
a bad team wants.
that's
Right.
the thing. I
Yeah.
mean, even Rashad Bateman, and look, I think the Humphrey one is very extremely unlikely. Like I almost regret bringing it up. That's how unlikely I think it is. Bateman, it still comes back to like, what's the fit? Like, what's the exact team? What's their vision? Who are they dealing? But because I would say, like, Rashad Bateman right now, and look, the Ravens have already redone one extension for him and added more to it. But you look at for what Rashad Bateman is, and look, he's not a number one wide receiver. He's a number two wide receiver. But next year, his cap number is 2 million. 2027, it's 7.5 million. 2028, it's 9.5. 2029, which I think whether he's a Raven or a Jet or wherever he's playing come 2029, I'm guessing the deal would have to be redone, but it's 11.5 million. Like, that is a dirt cheap contract, even for a number two wide receiver in this day and age in the game. So I guess my thought with bringing him up would be, if there happened to be some kind of fit for a team that is looking to deal a pet an edge rusher on an expiring contract, or maybe has 1 year left on a deal.
When you have a bunch of cap space and the other
Yeah.
team's looking to get a deal, right?
And they like, maybe they really liked Rashad Bateman coming out of the draft in 2021, that maybe it would be Bateman and some kind of pick or something. I don't know. Again, it's so tough because I don't know what team is looking to sell off an edge rusher because they're not good enough, because you would keep a guy like that if you were good. And once a wide receiver on a contract, that you're
By the
inheriting.
way, I wonder how in the world DaCosta even got Roquan Smith and that conversation ever began when they had Patrick Queen, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like, oh, they needed, they had other needs that felt like bigger needs at that point, you know? So we think about it in that sort of cognitive way of saying that, like, and even me saying, well, we're dealing strength from the wide receiver position. That's where you're strong. Well, you always get somebody in the room saying, yeah, we're strong until somebody turns an ankle. And then we're, till Zay Flowers turns his ankle. Now
Yeah.
we have no wide receivers in January. So you have that, you know, that's what
No,
makes it interesting. And again, this is a conversation we're having once or twice a year, this time of year,
yeah.
that we never had in football for the first 15, 20 years this team was here.
Yeah. So, and again, I don't think any of those player trades are likely. I think it's much more
Isaiah Likely.
they're trading a fourth round pick, or they're trading a third and a fifth, or something along those lines if they're going to get some kind of impactful player. But to your point, even the Oweh trade, what happened the following week? Tavius Robinson fractures his foot, right? So now you're in a position that you dealt someone that you didn't love and was making too much money. Understanding all of that, you got a piece that can help you now, but now you have a serious depth issue at outside linebacker, right? Which they still do, even throwing Carl Lawson into the mix, which they will presumably this week. They still need more quality and quantity there, quite frankly. So we're going to find out.
It's whack-a-mole, dog.
I would say this: if they're making a actual trading a player, I'm guessing it's much more in line with a David Ajabo type that some team wants to take a look at for 2 months, right? Where the Ravens would say, hey, you give us your edge rusher, we'll give you a pick. And we'll give you David Ajabo. We'll give you two picks and David Ajabo or something like that. Again, I don't think we're going to see any more player for player trades for the Ravens. I think it's going to be draft picks, because they have draft picks to deal and they have salary cap to absorb a bigger contract, right? So we're going to find out. If I have to guess whether it's going to be a monster, or is it going to be something that's on the more modest side, I'm always going to be inclined to say on the more modest side. But that said, you can always, you can find guys that end up really helping you out big time. So, we're going to see how this plays out. Certainly fascinated, but you and I have spitballed here plenty. I don't think any of what we mentioned will come to fruition in terms of the players we mentioned. So we'll see how this goes here over the next 24 hours, and then we'll reconvene and admit how wrong we were even bringing up any of those guys, probably.
He's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. We will have you all gassed up on the WNST text service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Billy still owes me a coffee mug, so I got to catch up with him. We'll get him back on the show here soon. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex on Friday. On behalf of our friends at GBMC, as well as the Maryland Lottery, I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away. And it's been a lucky batch as well. I got some great guests coming out for both shows this week, and we're going to continue on through the month. It is my colonoscopy month here at WNST. I've been putting this off for years. I've had dozens of segments with survivors and Hall of Famers and men who were at one point much older than me, but somehow I caught them and passed them. So I will be chatting about all of these important things that little tongue in cheek, little fun, not fun at all when I got the instructions. I got to drink what and eat what and do who and what. So I'll be talking more about that. But my thanks to my friends at GBMC and, and my wife and anybody else that's prodded me on to Dr. Sigmund to say, come on, dude, you talk about this on the air. It's time to like make sure you're good, make sure that you're as healthy as you seem to be on the radio. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We got World Series to talk about. We got things to do. We got crab cakes to eat. And I got crinkle cut French fries and gravy to get at Pizza John's on Friday. Stay with us.